thankful this morning for each one of you that could be here. I'm thankful for the King that has come, that is able to give us power and authority over sin that wants to destroy men's lives. I think quite often of the desperate need that we have for the Lord's anointing on our services. I feel like that when it comes to being able to convince and especially convict men of the things they would need to change in their lives, I feel like I'm very, very incapable. And I want the Lord's blessings and His witness on our services here. I'm desperate for that. So I desire an interest in your prayers that our thoughts this morning would be able to be such that the Lord can put His anointing on it. I think about the times when we come to service and how that we feel. All of us, I'm sure, if we would feel comfortable if we went around the room today, I'm sure all of us would have some level of distress or trouble that we're doing our best to keep our chin above. There's something that's probably looming in our lives or maybe very apparent in our lives, and we feel, whether it's melancholy or distressed, we feel the pressure of the things that we don't really like to be going on in our life. So I'd like for us to lift our perspective from that today, and I want us to think about how capable and how magnificent God is. And I'd like to begin in the end of the book. I'd like to begin over here in Revelations, the first chapter, and notice a verse here. He says in verse 8, "I am Alpha and Omega." You ever thought of why they used Alpha and Omega? I don't know what other translations of the Bible use, but for words there, but I know that Alpha and Omega, I'm thinking about a Bible that's translated in another language. Alpha and Omega is the very first and the very last letter of the Greek alphabet. So he says here, "I am Alpha and Omega." In my Bible, it's in red letters. In John's visions, he was hearing the voice of Christ, the Messiah. He is a disciple that was very close to Jesus, and I believe he knew what the voice of Jesus sounded like. And here he was hearing Jesus say, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." I'm the one that was there at the very beginning. I'll be there at the end. I am the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. So any perspective that we have of God being sovereign, that's who He is. He is, it says here, the Almighty. Almighty. I am always impressed with the thought of how capable and how broad God's understanding is and His abilities are. Many times in my life, I have felt very finite. I have felt very limited There's times that I have wanted to be able to try to explain something, and maybe I felt like I understood what was happening, but I couldn't maybe get it out the way it would click with someone else. I use the word click because I mean that to, I couldn't get it across to where the real understanding happened. I remember one time in my occupation, been a long time ago, before you had power door locks that you could push the button remotely and lock or unlock your car. This was back in the age bracket where we just had switches on the door, and you could lock and unlock all of the doors at the same time, which was a pretty novel thing at the time. But I had one of those cars come in, and the problem was that the battery would go dead every once in a while, but it just didn't do it every night. But sometimes they would go to, you know, park the car, and the next morning the battery would be dead. So they told me that they found out that sometimes the door locks were doing something strange. And this is one of those things today that I could go in maybe to a long-winded explanation of what was happening, but when we got done, I think both of us would probably be confused. So I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to tell you what I know fixed the car, and I want to tell you that what I observed. So when I finally got the car to act up and misbehave, the door locks had locked, and thankfully I had the window down. And then I thought I was hearing and seeing things, but it went around like in a rotation, and each door would take its turn of relocking. Instead of all four of them going click at the same time, it was going like the right front door, and then the right rear door, and then the left rear door, and then the left front door. And it would pause for just a minute, and it would start doing this again. And it would do that until the battery run dead, if you let it. And I want to tell you, I could draw a wiring schematic up here on the board, and we could analyze and try to determine. There was no modules or anything like that involved, no electronics other than wires and switches and relay or solenoids. And what ended up fixing the car is one of the switches probably had coffee or soda or something poured into it, and it was sticky, and the switch wouldn't return to the neutral position, and it was sticking partially on. And I put a new switch in it, and I know I fixed the problem. All right, I know that. That's 100% sure. But you know, there's some things about that. What it would just sit there and go. It never unlocked. It would just try to. It was all locked, and then it would. You'd see the little button that used to come up through the door panel. It would kind of go click, and the other one would go click, and then it'd go to another door and it'd go click, and then another door and it'd go click, and it'd pause a minute and it'd start doing this all again. And it's like, I don't know how it's happening. I don't know what's making it do that. I just know what fixed it, all right? So here's the thing that I want us to get a hold of this morning. Not that sometimes there's weird stuff happenings on cars, and it is. Give me a little time, I can tell you some more. But there's these things that happen, and it's like, I don't understand. I don't know. But you know, we have these words here that Jesus was saying about himself. He says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I was there when it all started. I'm going to be there when it's at the end. I am the Almighty. He has a level of understanding. And when there is some unusual, unpredictable, I don't know how this can possibly be happening in my life, I want you to know that He has a solution. There may not be something that I can go and say, well, you know, it just makes perfect sense that if I'll quit doing this, or if I'll start doing this, and if I'll go to this formula that has been worked up and someone else has been able to write it all out for me. You know, sometimes I think about some things in my current job. I think about some of the things that I've had to try to write out. This is the way we're going to do something. We're going to start here and end with the result that we want on the other end. And you try to write this out, and then I think about, okay, do I do that? Do I follow all those steps? And if we did follow those steps exactly, would it really produce? Or are these kind of, is there still some blanks that need to be filled in? You know, I understand this much about life. It's complicated. All right? I understand there is a lot of moving targets in your life. There's a lot of moving components in my life. There's things that change, and it's like, well, that changed everything. And it could just be one little thing. We could, the other morning, last Tuesday, I woke up, and when I woke up, I had no symptom, except I just had this sensation that my body was developing a temperature. You know what I'm talking about? I just felt like I was going to come down with a fever. That's what I felt. And as the day went on, sure enough, I never became nauseous. I never had other symptoms. But as the day went on, I became more and more indications that I was having my body was fighting something. I had a fever that developed. And more on that after a while. But I want us to realize that God is so capable, and He is so comprehensive, that the things that we look on and say, well, you know, maybe you're the one that drew up the schematic for the door locks. Maybe you were the one that put the thing together in the first place. Maybe you were the one that cut the hole out to put the door in or the window, or maybe you're the one that framed the building up, and it's like, I don't know how this is happening. You know, there might be some cracks in the wall when you're sure that you secured it. You reinforced it. You done everything you possibly could. I don't know why this is happening. Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe that God has an understanding beyond mine. Okay? So I'd like to go to Job now, the 9th chapter. I want to notice what Job's perspective was. We believe that Job had great integrity with God, and we believe that he was found faithful in the end. We believe that God rewarded him for being faithful. We notice in chapter 9 of the book of Job, beginning in verse 1, it said, "Then Job answered and said, I know it is of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" How is it? You know, there's been volumes and volumes of books written on how we can be justified with God. How we can be reconciled with God. How we can be saved from the power of sin. And he says, I know it is so of a truth, but how can I understand it? He said, if he will contend with him, he cannot answer him, one of a thousand. That's one-tenth of a percent, one of a thousand. All right? So do you even think that you are capable enough to contend, or to, it says, if he will contend with him, if man will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. Did you know that God has a thousand more answers than you can ever come up with, at least? He cannot, he says he cannot even contend with him One for a thousand. That's what I get out of that verse. He says, He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. So who is it that has been able to say, I don't care about God. I'll take my own path. I can figure this out. I can handle whatever it is. You know what happens? They don't. They end up in a desperate situation. I've known a few people in my life, one that comes to mind right now, that made a statement, something to the effect that they could handle sin. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Somebody says, well, I can handle sin. They thought they were smart enough. They thought they were strong enough. And you know what? I've lived long enough to watch the clock roll and found out they couldn't handle sin. Sin handled them. Sin roughed them up and destroyed them. Thankfully, today, this man that I'm referring to is saved. And he has been able to be restored in his spirit with the Lord. And he's recognized he wasn't able to handle sin. But you know, it says here, if thou... I'm sorry, where was that? It says, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Is there anybody? The answer is no. We're not going to be able to contend with them. There's some people that scoffed at God, that scoffed at the Lord's dealings, that scoffed at what the Lord might want to do in their lives and rejected His dealings and turned the other way. But I want to tell you, it has not ended up for good. They've ended up with a lot of heartache in their life, a lot of distress. So He says here... which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger. Do you believe that God can do that? Do you believe that he can remove the mountains, and they knew not? You know, all you have to do is get off of the beaten path, or sometimes you're on the beaten path, driving through the countryside, and maybe you look out the window of your automobile and you see the dramatic impact that has happened on the earth at some point. You go along and, you can go down on Interstate 49 here down into Arkansas, and there's a section of the road that they have chiseled through the rock. They don't even have any grass on the side of the road. It's so much rock. It's just solid gravel everywhere. And you can see the many layers and different variations in the rock and all. That's man done that. You know, they have some pretty impressive equipment. But I remember various times in my life, we've been driving down the road and you look out the window and you can see that at some time, God's caused things to move. And there's layers of rock that's come up at an odd angle, pushed out of the ground. You can go up there to maybe Yellowstone National Park, and you can see some things there that's like, well, there's been some dramatic events going on around here. When you see a tree that looks like it has bark on it, but it's rock. It's petrified. It's pretty amazing. How did this happen? It says here that he is able to remove the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. We have some earthquakes around us. He says, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. He's able to control all of that. You know, there's many times that people have looked for explanations of what that star was that the men saw when they came looking for Jesus. And they have maybe some, they can go back with the calendar and explain how this is, you know, it was certain, some thing up in the sky that it was a comet or it was a star that actually was extra close to the earth at that time or something that, it was just a coincidence. I don't think so. The Lord caused it to happen at the time that it did. He says, which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. He says here, which maketh I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, the chambers, and the chambers of the south. He causes the constellations to be where they are. The Milky Way and all of those other formations of stars and patterns that we observe and we say, oh, well, we know where we're at and what hemisphere we're in, and because we can tell by the stars. Well, who put those stars there? Well, man has got some explanation, but I'm going to tell you, it all comes down, I don't know how he done it. I don't know how he knows out all of this. I don't know how he controls it all, but I believe he did. You know, there's those little things like power door locks can just rattle my brain sometimes. It's like, I don't know how this is happening. I just know maybe what I need to do to make it different, to fix something. Well, here he says that he maketh all. He was the one that originated that. And then he says, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. The Lord is able. I want us to try to get a hold of the vastness of his capabilities and his comprehension and his the context that he can put things in. He says here, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Have you ever been distressed because someone felt like that they could just completely understood something? They felt like they was an expert. Have you ever been distressed because someone else was a professed expert? Self-professed, okay? It's one thing to recognize expertise in someone else, but when someone says, well, I'm the one, you just ask me. You know, it always makes me think, okay, maybe. But I wonder what's going to happen when they come up against something they don't have an answer for. Because I've lived long enough and applied myself in a specific field long enough to realize that the more I understand, it seems like the more possibilities for misunderstanding there is. And here it says about God, he says, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Do you think if Job, the one that had tremendous integrity with the Lord, the one that was able to live in such a manner that God responded to his life and even recommended him, that he had integrity above reproach, and he got into the enemy's clutches and was pulled down and stripped of all, everything he had, his health and possessions and all of that, and yet Job maintained his integrity with the Lord to the point that the Lord restored him even better than he was before. Now, this is a man that had a relationship with the Lord, right? And he said about God, he says, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. You know, if anybody ought to have understood how God operated, you'd think Job would say, I'm your man. Ask me. I can tell you what makes God tick. I can tell you how God operates. I can predict what God will do in any given situation. But Job didn't say that. He says he doeth great things past finding out. All right? Here's what you're going to find. The more you understand about the Lord, the more you're going to be amazed at what he can do. All right? I'd like to turn now to Romans 11th chapter and look in the 33rd verse. He says here, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." This is Romans 11 and 33. I'll read it again. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." His ways are past finding out. He doeth great things past finding out. He has a way that to us, it's like, I don't know how that happens. It's beyond me. And then we come down, and sometimes humanity, not sometimes, a lot of times, humanity comes down, and they make this conclusion. Well, that can't be the Lord working in this situation. He just don't do that. Well, are you sure? The Lord, if we can be so narrow-minded as to say, if the Lord really loved me, he wouldn't let this be happening to me. And then we get our feelings hurt. And then we fall out with the Lord. And then we want to contend with him. And you know where that ends up? A wreck. We end up a spiritual, emotional wreck. Because we come to this conclusion that we got God figured out, and if he's God, then this and this, we've got it. I'm going to tell you, his ways are past finding out. If I could go back, I'm not going to be able to, so don't be alarmed. But if I could go back and roll back my life a decade at a time, I would venture to say that each decade that I would go back, I would have to go back to a time 10 years prior to this, and I would say, you know, with everything that I see happening and the Lord's working here and the Lord's working there, I would not predict where I'm at today. I go back 20 years. I wouldn't been able to figure it out. The Lord's ways are past finding out. I want to be pliable in his hands. I don't want to get to a place. I've got a destination with my thought. May not get there this morning, but I'm trying to get us to think of how broad God's capabilities are and what his understanding is, and how miserably small it is for us to come to this thinking that I know how God's going to do it. I know this is the only way. You know, one of the things that trained people try to do is they try to maneuver others with questions and positioning of themselves. It's called, in military, it would be called strategy. To try to, you might say, force the enemy, to force the other person to do what you want them to do. All right? And sometimes we as humans will feel like that, well, if I do all of this, then God has to do this over here. Well, he don't have to do that. You know, One of the things that I've endeavored to do in my life is I've endeavored to live conscientiously before the Lord. I want to be obedient because the scripture says the willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. All right? I've been kind of banking on that. But I'm here to tell you that the good of the land is not always what I thought it was. You know, there's been some things that's not been so good. And yet, I'm going to just tell you, I've made an honest effort to be willing and obedient. There's been changes and adjustments that I've made in my life, and I think, Lord, I believe this is what you want me to do. I've prayed about it. I've sought him. Lord, are you sure this is what you want out of me? And I come to the place, I think, well, that's what the Lord wants out of me. This, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the adjustments. I'm going to follow the Lord's direction here. And surely, the scripture said, I'll eat the good of the land. Well, what's the good of the land? I don't know about you, but good of the land might be scrambled eggs and sausage every morning for breakfast. I don't get that. I don't always get everything that I want to eat. Maybe it's a good thing. You know, I don't always get the blessings that I think I might deserve. But I know that the Lord knows, He understands more than I do. And we're very foolish if we feel like, well, if I'll do all of this, then the Lord will give me the desires of my heart. Well, sometimes my desires might be out of whack. You know, my desires may not be in alignment with what He sees best for me at that time. All right? So I'd like to go now to Isaiah, the 55th chapter, Isaiah chapter 55. And I want us to look here in beginning in verse 6. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he was near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon thee to our God and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Aren't you thankful for that? I am so thankful that the Lord has abundant pardon for each one of us as mankind. But the next verse says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Have you ever had somebody tell you, I know what you're thinking? Anybody ever had that, or am I the only one? I've had some people tell me on various occasions in my life, I know what you're thinking. And a lot of times they don't know what I'm thinking. Sometimes I've even reassured them that they didn't know what I was thinking. You know, there are times that we can come to the wrong conclusion and say, well, I know what God thinks about this, or I know what God thinks about that, maybe. But I know what the scripture said here, that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our... They're not like his. We're not in the same realm as God is. And it really distresses me to think that somebody has God all figured out. I want God to be real to every one of us. And I want God to be there. I believe he's there for us all. But I don't want us to get in a place in our minds, in our spirits, where we feel like that, well, I know exactly what's going on in God's mind. I'm going to tell you, we're going to end up in a little real surprise in our minds and in our hearts, I'm afraid. So, I would like to end this morning our little thought with passage in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. I would like to look here beginning in verse 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In verse 9 he says, maybe beginning verse 8, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge." You know that it's one of the wisest things that we can do to study the scripture and to get to know God for ourselves. Ask him to give us an understanding of what his will and his purpose is for us in the situations we find ourselves in life. I believe that's still a good thing. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. He says, "He still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs." Did you know that it's still wise for us to try to understand the scripture and try to understand what the Lord is teaching us through the scripture? It says the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That which was written was upright, even words of truth. You know, I think that anyone that would be in a position of spiritual leadership, whether that's in your own home or whether it's in a congregation, I believe it's right to ask God to give you acceptable words, to help you to know how to express the burden or the thought or the thing that's inspiring you and causing your mind to be taken in a certain way. Ask the Lord, "How do I know how to express that?" I do. Ask the Lord, "Lord, give me the right words. Help me to know how to articulate the thought." And he says here, "The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." He seems to end with a little different thought. And this is not the end of the chapter, but it's almost the end of the it's end of the thought, it seems like. He seems to conclude here with something that's different than saying that we ought to search out, find out acceptable words, and set in order many proverbs, and gain understanding, and read and study and all of that. But he says here in the 12th verse, "Of making books, many books, there is no end. And if much study is a weariness of the flesh." Did you know that you can study something to the point that you end up being confused? I believe that we ought to study for understanding. But you know that there are times that you can study something that's maybe you're at a stage in your life, you're just not equipped to be able to understand it all. I've been there. Maybe I don't have all the facts. Maybe I've been told you have all the facts, but not all the facts have been given to me. So he says here, "Of making many books there is no end, and in much study is a weariness of the flesh." There are an incredible number of books out there, like books like we think of books, with a spine and pages, and you open them up to read them. There are books that are electronic books. You're going to log in and scroll down through a PDF file or a document of electronic document to read. There are all different types of books. There's information that's been set in order by an author, a human author. And there are things that have been promoted and put out there that is just without end. There's even places that sell books that call themselves books a million, right? So I don't have a million books at my house. I have a lot of books, but I don't have a million books. I don't even know if Books A Million has a million books, or if that's just a term they throw out there. But the idea is there's lots and lots of books. And there's lots and lots of things that have been written that has tried to put a different categories of thought about who God is and how He operates. And I'll tell you this, every time I stand back and look at that, there are those that have ascribed to a particular book, that have ascribed to a particular pattern of thought. And then there's somebody else over here that has an opposing point of view. Sometimes they end their identifier with ist and ism and all of those kind of things, and it becomes something we call theology. And we look around, and this is one of the things that distresses me, is that there are all these different people that have this is the way God works. It's just like this. And there's somebody else that says, this is the way God works, and it's just like this. And there's somebody else that maybe right in the middle, we'll take a little bit of this and a little bit of this, and I believe there's something else right here in the middle, and this is the way God is. And these people are wrong, and these people are wrong. I'm just here to tell you that it troubles me when we engage ourselves in something called theology with the purpose of identifying this is the way God operates. Because there are always opposing views to those things. This is what I want us to keep in mind. I want us to keep in mind that God is going to be that His ways are higher than mine. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He's got answers and solutions. He's got He's got formulas that I don't even begin to understand. You know, He's got dimensions that I don't understand. We think we're pretty smart when we understand not only length and width and height, and then we add time, and then we start talking about things that's really sketchy, maybe a fifth dimension or something. I don't know how many dimensions God has in His thinking and His capability, but I'm going to tell you this. I like to be kind of simple when it comes to, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do if You don't help me. And I don't know that I'm going to find a book anywhere that's going to tell me how to get it done. But I know this. I want to make it to heaven. And I want You to have I want to feel Your blessings in my heart and in my life. And I want us, dear ones, I want us to recognize that we could spend our time trying to prove and analyze and criticize and, oh, Lord, help me to not get in some kind of trap of trying to discredit or accredit somebody or something. I want to know that the Lord's blessing is on our... There's places I'm not going to go, literally. And there's places I'm not going to go, theoretically. There's places I'm not... We could take any doctrine that we hold as being a valid doctrine, and somebody out there has got something to drill holes in it with. But there's some doctrines that we hold as valuable and beneficial to each one of us, and Lord, help us to not be distracted in trying to get this. Well, it's all in this book. It's all in this theology. It's all in this way of thinking. I'm going to tell you, God's ways is higher than that. He's got some ways that's past understanding and past finding out. And just when I think I've got it all figured out, Sure enough, here comes something along. All right, I'm going to give you another example. I was there in a classroom before the first, just bear with me, all right, I'm a mechanic. I was there in a classroom, saw the very first 6-liter diesel that I was, and we had an experimental version that we took apart and put back together, and the instructor was there from manufacturing, and he said, you really shouldn't have got this. There's some pieces on this that is not going into production. And I come home from that class, and it was like, whew, that was a bunch of information. And I worked on those things under warranty, and I worked on them a lot because they had a lot of problems. And I worked on them for about 12 years. And I thought, you know, I understand this pretty good. And when I left the dealership and I started working with the boys at our shop, I've learned more about them since I've left the Ford place. There's some new things that I have learned. I didn't know that before. And I'm saying that because other people would have said, you can take it to Dan. He's an expert. But I'm going to tell you, there's things that I know today that I don't have an answer for every one of the symptoms. There's things that I just don't know. I know it. The more I look at it, the more I realize there's things, some new things I don't know. There's some things that's happened because now they're 15 years old. You know, there's things that happen that you're not going to find in a textbook, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord's got an answer. The Lord, age may have come up on us, and there may be some things happening in our life that we didn't think was possible. And maybe it wasn't 20 years ago. Told my wife yesterday, not because I don't want to, but I can't run anymore. It's just a fact. I'd like to, but my knees hurt too bad. If I try to run, I'm going to be hollering. I mean, it's going to be a real desperate situation if I take off. If you see me sprinting, you might look behind me. There's something chasing me. And I'm going to be, when I get to where I'm going, I get away from whatever's chasing me, I'm going to be hurting real bad. You know, 20 years ago, I would have thought, what are you talking about? I can still run. I'll always be able to run. But some things have changed, all right? And I'm going to tell you, I want us to realize that God has an answer and a path for us. Please don't allow yourselves to be so caught up in trying to prove it all, to write it all down. I'm going to tell you, there's too many moving targets. There's too many moving components. And I want us to be confident in this. We're serving the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Almighty. He can do wonders without number. And He's got ways that's past finding out. Just as sure as you think, well, I've got it all figured out, I can tell you how God would do, what He would do in this situation. Well, maybe you do, and maybe there's something that you don't see, and God does. That's all I'm going to say. Maybe you don't fully understand it all anyway. Please, dear ones, ask God to help you in your own individual situation. I believe there's doctrines. I believe they're valid doctrines. I believe there's a right. I believe God is never going to approve of someone that is committing known sin in their life. I believe that. I believe there is a way to identify what is sin and what's not. I believe the Lord will give us understanding. And as time unfolds, there's going to be new sins come along. You know that? There's basic sins, but there's new specific things that's going to come along that we haven't even dreamed of yet. So Lord, help us to be faithful. You pray for me. I don't want to make things overly complicated, but neither do I want to be, I don't want to do something that compromises my understanding that God has abilities beyond mine. He's able to fill all the gaps. He's able to explain the things to me in my specific circumstances. I believe He has wisdom beyond anything that you might be able to study out before you get there. So you pray for me.